Amen. You may be seated. A few weeks ago, as spring break was looming, Susie and I were discussing what we were going to do for vacation, and obviously, being that we live here in Iowa where it's cold, we decided that we wanted to go somewhere warm. We chose Kentucky. We were watching the weather. The weather had shown that it was warm, at least warmer than here. We were going to head to Kentucky. We were going to go to the Ark Encounter, to the Creation Museum, and a few other places so that we could enjoy a little bit of warmth and get some time together as a family and also maybe learn some things. Some friends of ours have a motorhome and they were willing to loan it to us, so we packed up and we were ready to go. We got in the motorhome, we drove to Kentucky, we arrived that day, only to find out that the weather that evening was going to be 18 degrees. Yes, the motorhome had a furnace, but we were not prepared for 18 degree weather. It took a big change from what we had been watching weeks before. We were not expecting that. And for me, one of the other things that I was not expecting was to arrive at the Ark Encounter, park our car, get on a bus and travel on a windy road, to step off of this bus and see this immense structure. I was not prepared for what I saw. It is massive. When Forrest read the verses earlier, and we've all heard messages on Noah probably 8 million times in our lives, and we see 300 cubic feet and we see these things, and until you stand there with this vessel in front of you, I was in awe. I was not expecting what I saw. I was also not expecting what I experienced. As we walked through the ark level by level, as we saw the depiction of what they felt was the structures that held the animals and how food was stored and how they prepared and all of the things that went into what Noah was asked to do, I began to think about what we've been learning from the book of Ephesians. What we are called to do. What God asks of us on a daily basis. As we walked through and as I continued to think about all that we've been learning as a body of believers, and comparing this to what Noah was asked to do, I began to question where my faith was lacking in my day-to-day walk, because Noah's task was immense. And the funny thing is, as we got to the gift shop at the end of our walk, there was a sweatshirt hanging, which I was going to wear this morning, but it was dirty. But on the front of this sweatshirt, just like this, it's a black sweatshirt, it says faith like Noah. And I saw it hanging in the gift shop, and I was enamored by this sweatshirt, was not willing to pay the price they had on it. Thankfully, my mother-in-law was, and she bought me this wonderful gift. But I want you to think about this morning some of the things that we've been looking at in the book of Ephesians. I want you to think about this morning maybe some of the things that you right now could take out a piece of paper and write down of the things that you know God has placed in your life, your gifts, your abilities, your talents. Who are your neighbors? Who are your co-workers? Who are the people that you are being called to minister to? Noah's task was huge. And I'm not saying that ours is any less. And this morning, I hope we can look at that together. In Genesis 6, if you'll open there with me, we're going to read these verses again because I think it's so important to have this repetition for us. Genesis 6, verse 9 says, "This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all of the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, 'I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 50 cubits high. 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it. Leave below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark. Make lower, middle, and upper decks. And I am going to bring floodwaters to the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish.'" When you read those verses, can you imagine being Noah? Just for a second. Can you imagine God saying to you, "I want you to build this massive structure. I want you to prepare this. I want you to take care of this because I'm going to destroy everything." I don't know about you, but when I read those verses and I think of if I was Noah, I would have many questions. I would. But here's some neat things that these verses share with us that we can know about Noah. He was considered righteous. He was considered blameless. He walked with God in the midst of a world that was wicked. He was not perfect. And he worked for over 70 years or more on this task. When you look at this list, at least for me, as I was walking through the ark, this is one of the things that kept running through my mind. We are called to many things in our life. God makes it very clear in His Word the things that He wants us as believers to be doing. He set a task before Noah because Noah was found righteous and blameless. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, we are found what? Righteous and blameless. So we can accomplish this task like Noah was able to accomplish his. Do we walk with God in the midst of a wicked world? We do. Are we perfect? No. Noah worked for over 70 years on this task. Most of us may not even live that long. So obviously God will give us the ability to do these things that we've been learning as a body of believers. Now I want you to think about this a little bit more. Here's one of the other things we know about Noah. He was ridiculed all the time. I mean, he's building this huge structure. He's gathering all of this food. He's telling people it's going to rain. What is rain? People must have thought he was crazy. He continued to preach righteousness to those around him. He built an ark when he had seen nothing. In Hebrews 11:7 it says, "By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that comes by faith." And here's another key factor. There was no water around. So, can you imagine the ridicule? Can you imagine the things that were being said to him or about him? Again, most of us have heard this story since we were this big. For me, standing in that ark, the magnitude, if you could see it, they depicted how all of the food would be stored, and it was massive. In all of these years, not just preparing the ark, but preparing the grain and the other things that they would need. Planning, putting all of this together. People all around him thinking he was crazy. When you think now about the size, I want to try to put this into some modern day perspective for us. 1.5 football fields long. Do we have any football players in here? No one? One. Good. Okay. You're on the spot then. Football. How often did you have to run the entire field? Just practice. Good thing, right? How often in practice did you have to run the entire field? Once or twice. Did you want to do it 5 or 6? No. Would you want to do it more if it was 1.5 times that long? No. It's huge. When you stand in the end zone of a football field and you think about getting to the other end, now we're going to add another 50 yards to that. It's 4 stories high. Over 4 stories high. A 4-story building. Taller than that. 75 feet wide. Does anybody know how wide this room is from side to side? Craig? I tried to walk it off earlier, but there was too many things. But we're about here. I mean, standing inside of this ark was amazing to me. And it kept coming back to me of all of the things that God asks us to do. God prepared all of this. He was in control of all of this. And God is in control of all of this for us. Noah did all that was commanded of him. He did it all. Noah followed in obedience. And he was called to a task of crazy magnitude. Now, some of you might be sitting here saying, "Len, why do you keep hashing on this?" Because I want us to get this. I want us to get the fact that we are set forth in a path just like Noah. Carter and Dan have stood here week after week and shared God's word with us to say, this is what's expected of us as a body. This is what's expected of us as an individual believer. These are the things that we're called to do. This massive undertaking God had in control. There is nothing he asks of us that he doesn't have in control. Irregardless of what anyone else thinks, irregardless of what we may think, God has it in control. I remember when I went to Bible college, I was a 25-year-old freshman, was working in advertising at the time, and when the company that I worked for decided to close our division, I had some great counsel in my life from some godly men that I really loved and trusted, and they encouraged me to take my gifts and head in that direction. I remember it was January, started mid-year, and sat in this room for orientation, not on a stool, but in a desk. But I remember sitting there and looking around the room at these 17 and 18-year-old kids and thinking to myself, I'm not sure what I'm doing here. And in walked the room was a gentleman who was older than I, and I assumed he was the professor who was going to be welcoming us into orientation. But this man did not sit at the head desk. This man scanned the room and walked past everyone and sat next to me. And I introduced myself and he introduced himself, and his name was Nick. And we began to talk, and Nick asked me what I did for a living before I decided to make this move. And I said I was in advertising, and he smirked and said so was he. And I asked him who he worked for, and he told me. And it was one of the largest advertising agencies in the world. And he had then told me that he was living in Guam at the time. His company had him there, he and his family. And he began to tell me his story of the amazing house they lived in and the amazing salary that he had and all of the things that, according to the world, were quite amazing. And he continued to tell me the story of how he felt God calling him into full-time ministry, but he struggled with giving up these things in his life. But yet it became so strong that he felt one night sitting at the dining room table that he needed to share this with his wife. And as he began to share this vision and this passion with his wife, Sandy looked across the table at him and said, "This is crazy." To which Nick kind of got a little defensive and began to try to comfort his wife. And she said, "No. No, you have to understand. This might be crazy to our family, to your coworkers, to our friends. But the reason I say it's crazy is because I've been feeling the same thing for the last several weeks." God prepares us. God walks us through. Even in the midst of when others think it's crazy, this calling, this walk that we have, these things that we've been learning in the book of Ephesians. Even in Jesus' life, even in his ministry, in Mark 3, 20 and 21, it says, "Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind." In most cases, the world will assume that we are crazy when we seek to be obedient and fulfill our task, our calling. Are you living crazy this morning? Are you? Does your unsaved family or friends scratch their head when they look at your life? Do they wonder what you're living and why you're living it? One of the things that really struck me walking through the ark is that everyone thought Noah was nuts. They would have had to. Rain? What is rain? There's no water around for 100 miles. And you're building this huge structure for a flood? Think about that. It's amazing. But think about this as well. Satan, our enemy, uses those exact things to keep us from following through. Some of us may not even know what our God-given gifts are. Because if we find out, we may have to use them. Some of us may not want to know what they are. Because then that means we will be held accountable to put them into practice. But when you think about this walk and you think about faith, what are some of the things that possibly get in the way of our faith? And there's a big long list. These are a couple off the top of my head. Fear. Fear gets in the way of our faith. The unknown. Next week, we're going to look a little bit deeper at Noah's life and the parallels to our life. But one of the things that I want us to think about this week, again, Noah was asked to build this immense thing because God was going to create a flood. Noah didn't know the outcome. Noah knew that God said, build this boat, and it's going to be how you survive. What about when the water's gone? What about when the ark stops and we have to get off? Big unknown? The world was just covered in water. What's going to be there when the water's gone? Fear is something that I think for a lot of us keeps us from taking that step. Fear of what others may think. Fear of the unknown. Lots of things build up in fear. This one might seem strange, but tradition. Tradition keeps us from walking in our faith. Have you ever had a situation in your life where you really felt God leading you in a direction and you sat and thought, well, God, why would I do that when I always do this? Why would you lead me there when this is what I do? This is who I am, God. Why would you ask me to do that? This is my normal routine. This is my tradition. Sometimes churches struggle to change and be led in a direction because this is what we always do. Sometimes families struggle with this because this is our tradition. But putting tradition aside, putting fear aside so that we could step out in faith. Perspective. Perspective is a scary thing. It can be a positive and a negative. But perspective, no matter how you measure it, can keep us from faith, from walking in faith. Because we want to walk by sight. We want to feel it and know it. We want to know the outcome. We want God to show us the rainbow before the first drop of rain even falls, so that we know that it's okay to go towards the rainbow. Maybe I'm the only one that feels that way. You're all kind of looking at me like, I've never felt that. Or maybe you're all looking at me like, yeah, I felt that a lot. But our perspective needs to come from Scripture, from the things that we've been learning over the last several months. Personal choice. Sometimes we know what is right. Sometimes we know that we see there's a need. And I could fill that need because God's given me the ability to fill that need, but I choose not to. Next week, we're going to talk about the list of gifts and talents that Scripture talks about. Next week, we're going to talk about how to figure out whether you have those or not and how to plug those in and where to use them. How do you use them at church and how do you use them at work and how do you use them in your neighborhood? So if you don't want to know how to plug in, then don't come next week. Yes, that was a joke. One of the other things that I think gets in the way of our faith is knowledge. Sometimes we know too much. Forrest prayed earlier that we would go to the scary parts of town. I know it's scary, so I don't want to go. Even though I feel God calling me there, I don't want to go because I know that part of town. Think about that. How many times does our knowledge of something or someone get in the way of us walking in our faith, fulfilling what God asks us to do? Now let's look at verse 18, because we see a little change here. Here in verse 18, it says, God speaking to Noah, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark." Stop right there. I'll establish my covenant with you, and you're going to get in the ark. I've got this. That's my interpretation of these verses. I know it's not a big theological interpretation. But when I read this, I get that feeling of God saying, I've got this. I'm making a covenant with you, Noah. All you got to do is get in the ark. I've got the rest. God says the same to us. I've got this. I've got this. Walk by faith, not by sight. I've given you a body of believers around you. I've given you quality leaders in your church. I've given you amazing Sunday school teachers. I've given you musicians to lead you in praise. I've given you family around you. I've given you believers around you. I've got this. Step out. Get on the ark. Are you living crazy? Some of you smiled. Are you living crazy? Are people around you baffled by your walk with God? Baffled in a good way, but where are you this morning? Because if you look at this, they get on the ark and God says, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you, you are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. And Noah did everything just as God commanded. That sentence right there was probably one of the most convicting sentences for me as I studied this. Noah did everything just as God commanded. It's pretty staggering when you think of all the details that Noah had to cover. But let's go back. God says, but I will establish my covenant with you. I've got this. I've got it. So as you think about this parallel between us and Noah, when you think about the magnitude of what Noah was called to, and you think about the magnitude that we are called to, let me ask the question a different way. Are you willing to live crazy? Are you willing to live crazy? Does that phrase well up a kind of a giggle inside of you? Are some of you sitting there really just wanting to smile and say, yes! I hope you are. I hope this morning that you're thinking about the magnitude of Noah and you're thinking about the magnitude of your walk with God in this sinful world, and you're willing to be the fulfillment of the prayer that was prayed earlier, that none would perish. Noah didn't want people around him to drown. I'm sure of that. I'm sure that Noah's message was, it's going to rain. I'm sure that Noah didn't want that to happen. And to keep proving that point, he stayed the task. Are you willing to live crazy? Here's what I'm going to challenge you with to do this week, to prepare for next week. I want you to think about these questions this week. I want you to take out a piece of paper, and I want you to fill in the answers to these questions, as well as one other little homework thing that I'm going to give you. We all have a calling in our walk with God. What are we doing with it? What are you doing with your relationship with God? What are you doing with your calling? Here's the little bit of homework that goes along with this. I just heard this on the radio the other day, and I thought it was amazing. The guy was talking about how he drew a tic-tac-toe board around his house. So his house was in the center of the tic-tac-toe board. Can you all picture that? I should have put a picture up here, I'm sorry. But can you all picture a tic-tac-toe board? Your house is in the middle. Who lives in the house behind you? Do you know their names? Who lives in the house across from you? Or the apartment across the hall? Or the apartment behind you? Who lives on the diagonals? Who lives alongside? Do you know them? Do they think you're living crazy? I want you to draw out that diagram this week. Maybe it's your cubicle at work. Who's in the next cubicle? Who's in the cubicle behind? Who's? Maybe it's your church pew, because I know that you all sit in the same spot every week. Who sits next to you? Who sits behind you? I have to thank this group of people right here. I don't even know some of you. But this morning, I couldn't help it. I had to just stand and listen to the singing. It was amazing. Especially when I heard my kids singing. But I did. I had to stop singing because I was being ministered to. But draw that diagram out for yourself this week. I'm going to ask you, when you do that, to start praying about those people, especially if one of those is blank. Because next week, when we talk about the gifts that God gives us or the talents that God gives us and how we can use those, we're going to start to draw out a diagram of how we might be able to use our gifts and abilities to minister to those around us. Whether that's carpentry or plumbing or baking a pie, or being a good listener. We all need to be involved. We all need to be like Noah. We all need to figure out how God is taking us to that next level. Is your walk of obedience crazy? You're all going to be saying that word this week. You know you are. And you're going to say it just like that. Crazy. Thank you, Ryan. That was great. Right there. Ryan, can you do that again? Crazy. Yeah. Like that. But I want you to be thinking that. I hope that when you think that this week, I hope it brings a smile to your face. And I hope it challenges your heart. Because God's got this. That's the best part. We don't have to worry about fear and perspective and all of that other stuff. Because God's got it. And if we're willing to step out in faith, people are going to think we're crazy. My friend Nick, who who not too long ago actually almost had to sell his home because he couldn't afford to live in it. And when you think about what he gave up so many years ago to realize where he is right now, and yet when I messaged with him on Facebook and said, "Brother, how can I help? How can I pray for you? You're about to lose your home." You know what his response was? "God's got this." That was his response. "God's got it." And I sat there on my couch. Thankfully, my family was in bed, but I sat there on that couch that night and I said, "God, I want to live that way." That was a while ago. It reminded me about that as I walked through the ark. He's got it. Here's the last one. Are you looking for confirmation and where? And we're going to hit a lot on this next week. Where are you looking for confirmation of your walk? Are you looking for confirmation of your walk? Do you want to know where God's going to use you? Are you praying where God's going to use you? Are you asking God to bring people in your life so that you can minister to them? Are you asking God to bring people in your life to minister to you? Are you asking God to define crazy? Be careful. He may ask you to go in this direction when tradition says I'm supposed to go here. He may ask you to go to that scary part of town when fear says don't. He may ask you to stand up here and sing on a praise team. He may ask you to change some diapers. I don't know. All I know is that for months we've been learning from the book of Ephesians. And as I stood in this ark, God challenged my heart to say, what am I doing with it? And when Dan contacted me and said, could you speak these two Sundays? I literally didn't know what to speak on. But as I stood in that ark, God made it evident that all of us need to be reminded of this story and the magnitude of it and the fact that God has it and the fact that He wants us to live it and the fact that each and every one of us in this room this morning, if we have our faith in Jesus Christ, every one of us, and I'm trying to make as much eye contact as I can because I don't care what age you are, it doesn't matter what age you are. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to live crazy. And again, if that doesn't well up some sort of excitement in you, I don't know what will. But that is what we are being called to as a body from the last several months, the last several years of all of the things that we've heard from this platform. Everything that we've studied on our own, God is calling us to walk. And my question to you, my brothers and sisters this morning, is are you ready to take the first step? Are you ready to live crazy? In obedience to God. Father, this morning, Lord, as I think about this message and I think about it's a message to me. Father, if no one else in this room this morning was impacted by this message, I will tell you that this message impacted me. You've impacted me, Father, in the fact that I need to live crazy. I need to live crazy in front of my kids so that they see a relationship with you that is amazing. I need to live crazy in front of my wife. I need to live crazy in front of my coworkers. I need to live out loud my relationship with you. And Father, I ask that for each of us here in this room this morning, this story of Noah is not just a simple story. It's a real life event that every one of us needs to tap into and understand that you, an amazing God, were in control of every raindrop. You were in control of every grain. You were in control of every animal. You were in control of every aspect of what you asked Noah to do. And you are in control of every aspect of everything that you ask us to do. So, Father, this morning, may we think about very strongly the life of Noah and how he walked with you. And may we begin to pray very earnestly about how we walk with you. May we this morning be willing to take that first step. Father, help us to make our charts this week. Help us to pray over the people in those charts. Help us to think about the gifts and talents and abilities that you've given us. Help us to be praying about those in front of you. So that we can start to think about as an individual and as a body of believers, how we can impact our community, how we can impact our families, how we can impact a stranger. All because we're willing to live out Christ in the midst of a wicked world. Help us to do that this week, Father. We ask all of this in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.